The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. For those of you joining us for the first time, Bad Storytellers is a podcast about a small group of amateur writers who submit and critique each other's work as well as discuss the written media we consume. It's like a book club but with a wider focus. Our group submissions are shared on our website, badstorytellers.com, and you can download them there if you'd like to read along with us. Additionally, we also accept your submissions for critique. If you would like some feedback with the same candor that we give each other, send in your submission to badstorytellers@gmail.com. Entries must be 10 pages or less. Additionally, at the end of each show, we roll the dice, pick three genres, and come up with a movie idea. Once we decide upon a name, we record the trailer for your listening pleasure. Enjoy.
All right, here we are. So Doug is absent today because he's not feeling well. Today it's just Liam.
Yo, 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 what up?
Max.
Arr.
And Josh.
Arr.
No. Dogtown, trio in the house.
Yeah. Shoot. Rough Riders.
We killed Doug.
So...
No, he didn't. I love Doug.
Liam wasn't involved.
So I don't have any retractions. It's been a while since our last episode. It's been 2 weeks because that's our new release schedule. And since
which feels weird.
In that time, we released RPG From Scratch.
Yes.
Which is doing pretty well. And the second episode will have come out by the time this airs. And we're pretty excited about the response from that, too. I mean, we're not going to stop doing this because we need this for our writing. But thank you, everybody who crossed over from listening to this to listen to RPG From Scratch.
And
we,
man,
definitely appreciate it.
It would be really thank cool you. If they did it reverse-wise, too.
Yeah. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Well.
Great. So
I'm feeling pretty good. Other than I just spent $750 that I really didn't want to spend.
Oh, wow.
Fixing my car.
Oh, yeah.
It was a drag.
That's right. Oh, geez.
It broke at a 4th of July party, which was so sad because you're like, oh, no one's going to come. I can't get a tow at 11:30 at night.
Like that banging is not, it's not fireworks.
No, no. It was my serpentine pelt being belt being destroyed. My serpentine pelt. My pelt of a snake.
It's good now, though? Good.
Yeah, I had to get a new AC compressor, and it sucked.
I was driving home with my wife. My wife was driving on the way home from Melbourne, and we had our front tire blow out.
Oof.
So that was fun.
I heard you almost died.
Could have. Luckily, we have a squat car that didn't flip, and no one was next to us to
kill you?
Yeah, while we're sliding into the next lane.
I had a pretty eventful weekend.
We'll stop talking. Please tell us about your weekend.
No, I really...
What,
I want
you done?
I want to fucking hear about this weekend, dude.
I had three more words.
Use them.
I don't want them. I'm going to save them.
Okay.
One of them was fuck.
So I went to... me and the Ghostbusters Resurrection crew went to Atlanta as the guests of honor for a Ghostbusters dance party at this crazy building that's going to be demolished soon called the Masquerade, which was awesome, man. This is the coolest looking club I've ever gone to.
It was like, that's a buddy adventure story waiting to be made.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was a really good time.
You could call it the Masquerade.
Yeah. Our bartender had a Slimer costume, and she was MVP. She did a great job, and... I don't have a lot to say about it without going into like the nitty gritty details, but it was a lot of fun, lots of dancing.
More than 12 people?
There was a lot more than 12 people.
Because that was your original worry, was that you're going to show up to like a basement.
Yeah, because I didn't know any of these people. Yeah. But it was more like showing up to a dungeon, like a third story dungeon, and it was amazing. I mean, it was so cool. Awesome. Oh yeah, and I was sick the whole ride home because I was hungover.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, wasn't that fun though?
Did you cross the streams?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a couple times. A couple times we crossed the streams. Was that everything everybody did? Let's
talk
about
the main
thing. Let's talk about the media that we consumed.
Yes, let's
so,
do that.
Liam, what'd you consume?
I watched some stuff. I need to start keeping a fucking journal. But the two that I'm really going to talk about is the first one is this movie called Wild Canaries. I watched it on Netflix. It looks like it was going to be one of those Brooklyn independent films. A couple's going through a hard time. And the movie starts out that way for about an hour. And then the last 40 minutes, it makes this wonderful slide, genre-wise, laterally, into thriller. Oh. And it makes the whole movie worthwhile. Because the plot is, it's a couple, they're in a wacky, modern situation that no one can really understand, and it's really tearing their relationship apart. And then this girl gets convinced that someone was murdered in their apartment complex, and there's all this stuff going on, and the whole time you're thinking, like, this girl is fucking crazy. turns out she's right. Then there's a whole murder mystery aspect of it, and it wraps itself up really nicely. I mean, I like stupid indie films as much as the next guy who's in his late 20s. But the fact that they did something new, turn it on its head, like really, it's not a super good movie, but they did something new. Like, I hadn't seen that, and it worked, and it was good. And then the second thing I saw that I was really impressed with that has just stuck with me is, and I watched it on your recommendation.
On Max's recommendation?
No, on Josh's recommendation, of Miracles in Men.
Yeah.
And it's about the Soviet hockey, like Olympic hockey team.
Yeah, I talked about it on here, man, and Doug saw it too.
It was so good.
It might be top 3 documentaries I've ever seen.
It stuck with me. Like, yeah. I was there.
Yeah, it was so good. Max, you're the oddball out now. You got to watch it.
I will watch it.
It's on Netflix.
It's good. You end up loving it. Like, and the best part is the guy who becomes the main character of kind of like the last.
You don't realize why you're following
arc.
Him.
Yeah, he keeps showing up and he keeps talking to him. And you're like, okay, this guy seems really nice. Knows a lot about hockey. Who are you? You're not. You haven't been mentioned yet. And then they mention who he is. And he was like the captain of this team. And you're like, fuck yeah.
And he goes through an adventure.
Oh, some shit.
Yeah. There's a lot of
stuff. It's not an adventure. No, he goes through shit.
Yeah, but it's great. It becomes this one hockey player versus the entire Soviet government. It's totally worth totally worth everyone's time.
Hockey is love.
Love your brother. Love him.
Why are you sad? You're playing hockey.
It's great.
It's so good.
It's a really good documentary. What about you, Max?
I have been alternating between The Wire, which is awesome.
Oh, it's getting better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which I'm in love with.
My dad loves that. I haven't watched it yet, but that's like, that was his favorite show of last year.
I've heard it's good. Yeah, I heard an interview with the creator.
About a crazy girl who just breaks into musicals, and sometimes she's a crazy person singing musicals around people, and sometimes everyone else is in on it. And it's just up to the situation of what happens.
Oh.
And I've been watching them both together, and it's been giving me very weird dreams.
I was going to say, your dreams are really odd, I bet.
Yeah, because it's like Omar and the girl from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Omar?
Is a gentleman from The Wire. Who
oh,
is.
Oh, right, right, okay.
He's dope. Terrifying, yeah.
Just dope.
Awesome.
Yeah. I went to the local comic shop for the first time, the Infinite Mushroom.
Yeah? How
yesterday.
Was that?
It was really nice. They were very friendly, and I bought a...
that was my experience.
Very bought a Hellboy guy. Comic, which I'm excited to read, and I'm... kind of thinking about getting back into comics.
Is that not over? Or did you pick up an older one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just love the art style, and I'm trying to get my wife into it.
Dude.
So any, like, Mignola art, Mignola. She was just like, ugh. Fuck yeah.
Isn't BPRD, that's him as well?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He uses so much black, but he uses it in such a cool way.
Yeah.
Growing up as a kid, I always liked that Disney Atlantis movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, like, growing up, they just took Mike Mignola's art style.
And simplified it?
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. As for me, I saw Central Intelligence, and it was hilarious. I mean, very, very good. Much funnier than even the trailer let on. And not so much because of Kevin Hart. He's fine. He's funny. But The Rock, man, he kills it. Doug has this thing with our friend Mike where they say you should put out a warrant for people's arrest. You make a fake warrant for having too much fun while making a film. So, like, the top offenders are Jack Nicholson is the Joker. Jim Carrey is the Riddler, definitely. I mean, how can you pass
that? He learned
that
those like cane tricks for him. He learned it from him. Like,
exactly.
Like, I could do this.
Nicolas Cage in a lot of films.
Wicker Man, maybe. Yeah. The vampire movie he's in.
I think he had fun in Kick-Ass, too.
I watched that The Death of Superman Lives or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tim Curry is Pennywise. But absolutely 100% Dwayne The Rock Johnson in this movie. Needs a, I mean, 5-star offense of having too much fun.
I'd have to say, who's the Old Spice guy? Cheeseburger Larry.
Oh, that's Terry Crews.
Terry Crews in White Chicks.
Oh my, yeah.
I would warrant that issue.
See, I'd put him. I'd say Idiocracy would be my choice for him.
Yeah.
President Macho Camacho.
He wrote that as a joke, like, hey, in 200 years, the future could look like this. No, bro, that's the problem with science fiction. They're always like, 400 years, and it's like, no, that was 20 years.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, I'm sad.
What else? I was trying to explain to somebody how the trailer for that movie was funny, and the movie was very funny. I mean, it was great. It's a great movie, but it's not like the funniest movie of all time, and we had kind of an argument about what that would be, and I think, for me, it's caught between Dumb and Dumber and Some Like It Hot. And the person I said Dumb and Dumber to was surprised that that was like mm-hmm. vying for the top spot.
That is, it's very joke heavy movie. It's like,
I don't know how
jokes per minute. Dumb and Dumber is
it's great.
I had a similar contest with myself. I watched the Jerk, and then Monty Python's Life of Brian.
I think Life of Brian beats The Jerk.
To me, it's The Jerk.
For me, it's
The Jerk. It's a family movie growing up. Like, my mom always sang us the Thermos song. Like,
I love The Jerk.
That's a deep-seated movie. And then Life of Brian is my favorite Monty Python.
That's definitely my favorite Monty Python. I don't know, man. Meaning of Life is real. It's Meaning of Life is more entertaining but less funny.
I think the only reason why we're not saying The Holy Grail is because it's so
beat to death.
But it is legitimately one of the funniest movies.
I'm trying to think of, like, I know I have a dark horse for funny movies.
White Chicks?
No.
Is hilarious.
It's funny.
My roommate made me watch it, and I was like, oh, shit.
Dodgeball is very funny.
Yeah.
Dodgeball is very funny.
Not as funny as Dumb and Dumber.
First Zoolander was real funny.
Super Troopers?
Super Troopers is good.
Super Troopers is very funny. Mm-hmm. Again.
Not as funny as Dumb and Dumber.
Not even close. The only movie I think comes close is Some Like It Hot. That's one of the only movies where I thought I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard during more than one part of that movie. But anyway, I also watched, speaking of funny things, the first episode of Lady Dynamite. And, oh man, I love Maria Bamford so much.
It was literally the first, like, sketch scene.
Yeah.
Then, and as soon as it was done, I was like, all right, I'm on board.
Like, everybody's in it. I mean, Brian Posehn, Patton Oswalt. There's a lot more shit.
So this is something I should watch when I get home.
Yes.
Yeah, man. Cool. It's the first episode's amazing. And her two friends...
Oh, they're great.
Oh, my God.
Her manager is great.
Yeah. Oh, what's her name? The lady who's the agent.
She was on SNL. I forget her name.
Yeah, it's...
She's one of the NPR girls.
Yeah, good times.
Good times.
Oh, Molly
good
Shannon?
Times. No, the other one.
Mm.
I like her more than Molly Shannon. I'm trying to remember her name. She plays the jackal in Lion Guard.
Yeah!
Hold on. I almost got this.
Sorry, I'm going to have to write her a letter and be like, I forgot your name. I'm sorry. You're really good in Lady Dynamite. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's Anna Gasteyer.
Anna Gasteyer, yeah. That's it.
She plays an agent. She's hilarious.
She kills.
Nobody kills more than Maria Bamford, though. She's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm glad it worked out for her.
She finally got her show. It just had to be on Netflix. But now she can do whatever she wants, and it's hilarious. Dude.
Well, the same thing with Tig.
Tig Notaro?
Yeah. She didn't even want to do that special because her friends were like, maybe you shouldn't have a special about how you have cancer. And she's like, no, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, well, no, and then she had...
I never saw the Tig one.
The one with cancer is really good. And then there's a documentary about the whole situation. She was really worried about making the next special because she was like, I unloaded cancer at people. Like, how am I going to continue my act? Part of the joke was black humor, I'm going to die. He's like, now I'm fine. Like, what am I going
to
do?
I went to Starbucks today. It's like...
Yeah, it doesn't hit as hard as... 2 hours ago, I was diagnosed with potentially terminal cancer.
I feel, I think that's pretty much it. I've listened to, podcasts. Hang on.
Yes. I'm catching up on Nerd Poker with Brian Posehn or Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay. So a friend of ours, Alex, turned me on to this podcast called My Dad Wrote a Porno. And basically, it's three people. There's two men and a woman. And one of the men, his father, wrote an erotic novel that is, like, I think a trilogy or maybe even a quadrilogy by this point called Belinda Blinked, because each one starts with Belinda Blinked. She was in the office. Like, she couldn't believe it.
Uh-huh.
And it just starts. They just start fucking, like, right from the start. And in this podcast, it's just them reading it and going, pause, hang on.
let's break this down.
Yeah, and it's very funny because the book is terrible, but it reminds me, Liam, remember this, we used to throw parties and we'd get sufficiently drunk, we would break out Juliet by the Marquis de Sade and read from it at parties, just pick a page and start reading, and we all just almost crying laughing by the end of it, and that's exactly what this podcast is, except for they go sequentially through this book called Belinda Blinked.
You should put the link.
I'll put the link in the show notes. Also, I started listening to Sam Harris's podcast, and I like the guy. Very smart, very well-reasoned arguments, but his voice is very much like this, and he speaks in a kind of conversational monotone that is very hard to stay excited about. But,
Robert Casanello.
Yeah. He did do a podcast where he and Dan Carlin talked about world policy, like what to do about some of the big problems facing society. And they disagree on some stuff, and that is great. That is so cool when that two cool, extremely yeah. smart people like Dan Carlin and Sam Harris, who are not insulting each other at all, really disagree on something. And at the end, they Dan Carlin's like, yeah, but when you say that, it makes me think this thing and this and this and this and this. And that's, I think this should happen. And he's like, well, you know, Dan, I can't really disagree with anything there. I think that you probably put it better than I would have. That's what happened. He's like, well, shit, Sam. Is that how you want to end this? Like, you know, we both agree on stuff.
What was that one called again?
Waking Up with Sam Harris. And the podcast where Dan Carlin appears, which if you guys are not listening to Hardcore History with Dan Carlin, you are fucking up. I don't know what you're doing with your life. It is maybe the best podcast in the world.
Your life sucks.
I don't know, man. Mine's not great and I listen to it.
That's true.
Yeah, it's called it's his 11th podcast, but I think it's also on Dan Carlin's Common Sense podcast.
Okay,
it's cross-casted.
Yes,
ooh.
And it's shouldering.
We need to do some of that.
Shouldering the Burden of History with Dan Carlin.
That sounds excellent.
Yeah, I hope they said they wanted to do more after that conversation, and I hope they did.
I also like the High and Mighty podcast with John Gabris.
Who's that?
He's a comedian, and he
just gets high.
Well, he does that, but he also he has a friend who's a CrossFit trainer. So he does six episodes throughout the arc of just talking about how he got started and how people can get started and stuff. And then he'll do an episode where he'll do a power hour where you drink, what is it? You drink a beer every 10 minutes or something.
Right.
They'll do that and they'll try to have a podcast. And then they have an episode where
how can I sign up for that?
Him and a couple of his friends just eat everything Taco Bell has on their menu.
Oh,
and
no.
And talk about their Taco Bell obsession. I listen to it when I'm landscaping and it goes from the fitness episode. I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I should, get out and do some more fitness stuff. And then they're like, we're going to eat everything on the Taco Bell menu. And I'm like, oh man, I don't want to do that. He'll just bring on any of his friends who are one guy's obsessed with aliens. So they go through and they talk about that. And what is it?
When you say aliens, do you mean the movie Aliens?
Do movie cover, they'll talk about movies, but actual alien conspiracies.
Oh, good.
And then what is it? The EPC or whatever, the story? I know Liam's told me about it before. The people write X-Files-based stories for this website.
Oh, no, SCP.
Yeah, I'm 100%, man. I dig hard into that. I've read about 2,500 of them.
Okay. I'm probably only at 1,500, but it's still some of them
knock it out of the park.
Well, some of them I read, and then I have to close the browser and then leave for a little bit because I'm like, my brain hurts.
That reminds me. I also started listening to the No Sleep podcast, which is based off the No Sleep board of Reddit, where people just post stories that are supposedly true.
Yeah.
But all they do is they curate the ones for that week, basically, that are the best, and then they read three of them. And there was one that I listened to that was awesome. They split it into two separate podcasts. It's done in six parts. It's called the Pen Pal Saga, and it's about this kid who somebody was just looking, somebody was following him his entire life. And there's great moments. It's written very well, where he keeps getting Polaroids that he doesn't realize that he's in until he noticed a common thing. But there's this little part of him in every one of these Polaroids. And when he goes and plays in the dirt with his friend, they hear some rustling in the bushes. And they're like, what do you hear that sound? It's not just rustling. What is that? And he's like, I think it's a robot. It sounds like a robot. And then at that moment, of course, because you're not a child, you're like, oh, it's a Polaroid camera. It's good. It's well done.
I like things that make you think outside of your mindset. The Tideland was like that a lot.
What's
Terry Gilliam movie?
Oh, okay.
I watched it and it was the most messed up movie I've ever seen. And then I watched it again. If you watch the movie from the point of view of an 8-year-old or 7-year-old girl, the movie's fine. It makes sense. It's a funny splice of life movie.
I might not like this. I can't.
Yeah. Okay. But Terry Gilliam is always worth a shot. And if you watch the movie from the little girl's point of view, it's fine. But if you watch it from anything else, it's just fucking crazy, like John Waters who found bath salts.
That is oddly specific.
Okay, yeah. I think I'm with you on that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's talk about our submissions this week. So I think I'll start.
Cool.
Because while I was in Atlanta, I lost my glasses. And writing a new submission, I have been doing it, but it's been slow going because about every 30 minutes of trying to write it on a computer screen, I start getting a headache due to my lack of glasses because I've gotten so used to them. So I'm submitting a short film that I wrote years and years ago because I kind of want to revisit how I've improved over the course of this podcast. And I would like to give myself criticism, and I want to hear what you guys would say to that version of me. So
sounds good to me.
The submission...
How many years ago is this?
Oh, man. Five?
All right.
No, not that long. Three years.
Then I'll say to him, thanks for throwing so many rad parties.
But so what it is, it's a short film about a old man who's dying, and he reveals to his son that he used to be a superhero, the most wide respected superhero, kind of like a Batman character, and how he became that superhero. And he needs his son to go and get rid of all of his stuff that would, you know, paint him as a superhero.
Implicate.
Yeah, that would implicate him because his son is a detective. The implication I'd hoped for is that the reader would know it would ruin his career or it would hurt him in some way. So he tells him the story of how he became the Vigilant, this character, and about how he tried to rescue a previous Superman character who's called Uberman, and he called himself Wunderkid at the time.
Wunderkind?
Wunderkid. Uberman instead of Ubermensch.
Yeah.
Wunderkid instead of Wunderkind. And he goes to rescue this superhero who he's the only one who's convinced has been mind controlled. And when he frees him from mind control, the horror of being mind controlled is too much on Uberman, and he just kills everybody and kind of loses his mind. So Wunderkid takes him to a home and then becomes the Vigilant.
I got a different part of the story where he's like, you know, when Uberman is killing and Wunderkid is like, no, you know, heroes don't kill. And Uberman's like, that's not true. And then the Vigilant puts on his mask and goes, I know he's wrong. But then he kills. So I would just like, I don't know.
But when he did, he stopped being the Vigilant.
Yeah, and then it's just done. I thought in the beginning it made it sound like he wants his son to get rid of his things, but me, like, carry on the legacy, like, to prove.
No.
Oh, because he tells him to burn him.
Yeah, but doesn't he want to prove Uberman wrong? Because at the end, he's like, I prove him wrong. I am going to be the justice that doesn't kill.
No, I mean, interesting. Well, the whole thing is that's definitely a thread, if that story continued, that you could bring up.
I didn't think about it that way. That's interesting, Max.
Because he does.
That's the first thing. I mean, actually, one of the things that I think is a major red herring in that story is it starts with, like, that thing that we shared. I got there too late. And then you're like, okay, where's this going to go? I'm going to tell you a different story now.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting... Okay, I didn't think about it that way. Yeah, you kind of wanted to hear that story more?
The whole thing is you gave us just enough information to think it was the lead into that story. Yeah. Like, there was more detail than, like, I gave it all up. You know, I had to. No explanation, but you gave this little tidbit of a story. I'm like, oh, what? Was it a serial killer? Why'd he kill this guy? Never answers any of it. Never brings it up again.
I might even have the story take place while the son is looking through the locker and, like, flashing back into his dad telling him the story.
Ooh, so, like, three levels?
Yeah, so, like, he's holding all the implements because, like, he would just be, like, humoring his dad.
Whoa, Tarantino, back it up a little.
You know, like, you're listening to your dad tell a story about how he's a superhero. But if he was actually, like, holding the items and going through, and, like, that would bring it in more. Maybe even have something from Uberman, like Uberman's original.
Or just the suit. Wonder Kids. He would have the suit. He took it off of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
So, like, he would be looking through, because that would make him believe he's a detective. He hears crazy stuff all the time.
Interesting.
But if he's holding the actual evidence and he's like, fuck.
I try to make the son thinking that he's telling him to get rid of some sex stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I did that joke twice. Is that too many times?
No, because it wasn't fish over the head overdone.
What? Fish over the head?
That's a Monty Python sketch.
Dead parrot?
No, there's the fish slapping. All right, never mind.
Well, I'm sure at some point they slap someone.
All right, I'm going to look that up. Fish over the head. If I can find it on YouTube, I'll put it on the show notes.
There's a fish slapping sketch.
Okay.
I like that, though, because it's you're going away from the world, and you have to tell your kids, like, these are things you need to take care of. And, like, if there is a sex thing.
You'd have to. I mean, you gotta.
Or it's like an adult talking to your parent, like, is there anything I need to get rid of? One of the most awkward moments for me was my friend died, and I had to go on his computer.
Ugh.
And I got into it. It was a password. They couldn't get into it. So I got into it, and the things I had to hide
and delete.
And the things I had to give to them were just like me, like, sitting there like, okay, let's put this over here. No, look, I found this here. Like,
oh my
here's
God.
Some photos, and like delete. Not delete, but like, that was so weird for me.
Yeah, that's a weird time.
Yeah, so I like that part of your... I get that in part of your story where the detective's trying to be practical.
You imagine that the son knows about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to give you a letter that is only to be opened when I die with specific instructions.
I think everyone should do that.
Because the fact that you did that is very...
Leave passwords, like, leave that shit, because otherwise, like, you have to get Apple and stuff into it.
You don't want that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, so if I was to critique it, my biggest problem is the not so much what happens, but the word choice in the action lines, and the dialogue is way too on the nose every time. I mean, everybody says exactly what they mean.
Yeah.
It kind of, that works, I don't know, it works for the superhero straightforwardness. I would say, like, the action stuff was, you're better at it now. Like, I definitely Thanks. Know that. it was clunky, but it's also, in script format, it's weird. Because you aren't expecting it to be everything it needs to be. Where, like, in prose, you have action. Your action had better be good. You're never going to make anything else of
right.
it.
Right.
So I was not going to be hard on that because it didn't seem necessary.
What did you guys think it was too violent when the no. violence started?
No, it could have gone three. You had three more steps mm. to the point where it would have been ridiculous.
Unman yourself.
Yeah.
I like that. But for like a, you know, for a script, I could see everything in my head.
Oh, yeah. Good.
It was detailed well, like the world they're in.
I tried to make a lot of motion in the fights because a superhero thing that like each movement had to progress the story.
I do have a personal question.
Sure.
So is Wunderkid is just vaguely super?
He is super strong.
Okay.
With more endurance and all right. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not as strong as
Uberman.
Not even
at
close.
All.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No, Wunderkid is like
Captain America.
Captain America. That's a good yeah, and yeah. and Uberman is Superman.
Superman. All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He fucks up that shark.
Oh yeah, he does.
Yeah, yeah. He gets an encounter with a shark. If you so, if that doesn't sell you on reading this, I don't know what will. Because
there is a shark.
He fights a shark. Yeah.
He says dorsal fin.
Oh
it's
my
in
god.
The script.
It's probably been done. I just don't read comics. But does Captain America kill anyone?
Yeah.
Yeah, a few times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's not. He's
he
not
kills
Batman.
Hitler.
Well, he punches Hitler.
No, he kills Hitler.
Kills Hitler?
Okay. There's a thing
Why
where...
Why don't you tell him?
All right. Yeah. It's one of my favorite moments in comic book history. Peter Parker is talking about Norman Osborn, who just got elected president, and they're hanging out in the Avengers base, and Peter's like, man, this is so crazy. And they're like, Peter, you're beating up yourself over nothing. He's like, no, I could have beaten him or killed him at any moment in the last 10 years. I have messed up royally. Imagine if you could go back in time and kill Hitler. And Captain America's just in the back and he just raises his hands like, I killed Hitler. And it's such a throwaway, stupid joke, but
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Captain America, nice dude, but he's a soldier.
Oh, no, he kills.
I mean, okay.
He's killed.
He's a soldier.
I didn't know if he had that same Batman.
No.
He'll try not to if he can help it. But no, I mean, he's not going to. He would have killed the Joker.
So, oh, yeah, no, instantly.
If he could have. There's many times where if he could have killed Red Skull, he would have.
Red Skull does bad things. You got to stop the bad guys.
Guys, you remember Old Man Logan?
Yeah. Old Man Logan's fucking tight.
I don't want to ruin it. If you guys haven't read Old Man Logan, read it.
No, what is that?
It's
about Wolverine.
It's a Mark Miller,
old.
Mark Miller graphic Maher. Novel.
He's one of my favorites.
Then this might be his best.
I'll
yeah,
check it out.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Because I saw that Wolverine one where he goes to Japan.
Mm-hmm. No.
That was boring.
Yeah, it sucked. Oh, so one problem I had is that rereading it now, I realized that I could have been much more clear about Uberman's voice causing harm when it like it causes
okay.
a wave and like bounces the guy's head off the floor and stuff.
I picked it up.
Yeah.
I feel like it could have been clearer.
Could have been clearer.
Yeah.
One thing I would say is like I think I want it bookended better. I want the ending to involve the family more.
Oh, okay.
All right. So he starts with the family, tells him this thing. Then it ends with him just becoming the Vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
So is this the beginning of a story about the Vigilant? Or because if it was a self-contained thing, I'd want the more of the family at the end.
Okay. Interesting. I understand why you're saying that. I'm just trying to think of how... Or
I don't know what... Yeah,
I don't think there's anything useful that you could do with the family at that point because that's the story.
Yeah.
But I understand why you're saying that. Like, I would probably feel the same way.
Like, it would be interesting almost if this was just a TV series and the whole TV series is the Vigilant telling his own stories.
Like, between the 30s and the 50s.
But it's, just, again, the framing device that you use to do it to tell the story is the family starts coming. It's like, we need to know all of this now. Like, we need everything.
That's a good one. Yeah.
You'd be like, so here's how I caught this serial killer. So here's how I bought the beat up the Friesen twins. So here's how I accidentally ended up on the moon.
That just reminds me, or like makes me think of like a Goodwill full of super suits where like there are superheroes and they just die and their family doesn't care. So they're just like.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That would be fun, like finding a like mm-hmm. in a garage. So like, what's this?
Like nothing. We don't know. Came with the house.
Yeah, it came. It was in the box.
So Max, let's move on to you.
Okay, mine's a short opening that I've wanted to do. I want to write a story about a criminal who understands criminality but doesn't believe in it. To where like he understands if you want to be a good criminal, you have to be really violent and like get into it. But he's not a psychopath.
Okay.
He just knows that's like a job skill. He knows that's how he has to be in his job, but when he goes home, he's fine. And I wanted to open it as like a guy who's in love and he's running to the airport to get to the girl to save the girl, and then gets carjacked by a main character who just doesn't give a shit. So that's my piece. I've always wanted to write that, so I sat down and wrote it about this character.
I'm gonna say this never.
That's all.
If you really want to do it and you want to start out as a like crappy sappy romantic comedy, I'm gonna need to help you because it's it's not there, man. But as soon as your main character shows, like, all right, and then it ends.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh shit.
I feel like my biggest criticism of it is that the transition could have been more obvious when it switches from Simon to Mike, because at that point in time, I didn't really know the main character as Simon. You introduce him as Simon, but like, it's not. I don't have enough time with him to think of him as Simon. And then when it switches to Mike, I'm like, is Mike the guy? I don't know. Oh no, it's not him. Okay, I understand. It was good though. I mean, like, the idea is great. The idea is solid.
The idea is funny.
Yeah. So I'll have to write more about Mike. I was thinking about my Sinclair thing, and I had a piece I wanted to sit down, and I had it in my brain. Then I sat down on my computer, and it just wasn't coming out. So I wrote something else. But
you know,
I want to get back to Sinclair.
When I sit down on the computer and it doesn't come out, I have a couple of favorites in my browser that I use.
Put those on the list.
I thought you were going to say I'm using my laptop on the toilet, and it's time for me to wipe.
I had a thought about that the other day.
Okay.
What? We had a Juno just went to Jupiter, right? It's taking pictures of Jupiter.
Yes.
Well, it's on its way.
We have...
Right.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
July 4th, it like got close enough to start taking pictures.
Oh, cool.
We have a Mars rover. We have everything. And we're still wiping our ass with wadded up pieces of paper.
I mean, have you...
Humanity's weird.
Have you got any other...
I don't. Like the seashells, I don't... understand.
Nobody knows how the systems work.
Humanity is so strange that we'll spend $1 trillion to like explore the universe.
Do you know why we do that? The invention of toilet paper was a huge leap in not dying of dysentery.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
But then we stopped.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is we even invented other stuff for it, like the moist towelette wipes and all that.
Yeah,
like,
but
those are terrible.
They don't do anything extra. Like,
that's not true. They do. That you feel much more clean after using those than you do with toilet paper.
You feel much more clean.
You are much more clean, too. It removes more. It's the same thing you use with baby wipes, but the difference is you don't throw baby wipes in the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you throw them away when you use them, but people flush those, and it's a huge problem.
That's a bad idea. Also, flushing the toilet is fucking weird. That's like 3 gallons of water.
I mean...
Get a low-flow toilet, bro.
We're on the East Coast. It's not that big of a deal. It just, like, especially if you have a septic system, it just goes into the leach field.
Yeah.
It evaporates into rainwater. Not that big of a deal.
Yeah. So if you guys want to hear more about that guy.
Yeah, I do.
That's a story I've always wanted to write because it would be interesting. I've always.
I really want you to come, like, come over to the shop or over to my house. Mm-hmm. And, I want to hammer out what you need to do is make the romantic story really sappy, really over the top, kind of like gushy, so that when it switches gears, you cannot help but notice. Yeah. Gritty crime novel. Bam. Yeah.
I was going to have him murder Simon, but I didn't know about that.
That's a good idea. Yeah, no, yeah. I think
or murder both of them.
But the whole thing is Simon needs to then provoke it. If you're going to be like, if the whole point is being on this guy's side.
Because at some point you're like, I understand what you're saying about the character Mike, where he's like, look, if you're going to be a good criminal, you have to have the least amount of motive possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and the way to be efficient is not to be attached to any of it.
Yeah.
So I just kill this guy. He can't tell anybody what I look like. Yeah, they've got a murder on their hands, but by the time that they even find his car, I'm already doing something else, you know?
Yeah, I've watched a lot of like mafia stuff where the crazy guy who murders is very useful until he gets into middle management, and then he gets murdered because he can't turn it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once that guy gets into the management role, then shit starts to get fucked up and noticed.
Because he's not a good manager. Yeah. He's a good psychopath.
Exactly. Where this guy would just see what he needs to do for his job and be like, okay, here's what I need to do in this situation.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this guy knows what's up.
Yeah.
And Mike is like, look, I got this all planned out. I just knew that one day if I was going to be a criminal, this is how you do it correctly.
I would be the best one.
I mean, I'm not mean. I don't hold any grudges about it. No. But look, it's just, I know that this is what I do now.
But if he needs to cut someone's face off to get his money, then that's what he'll do.
And it'll be almost like Ender in Ender's Game, where he's like, yeah, you know what? I don't really want to kill this guy and mutilate him in front of everybody, but the effect it would have would be useful. So I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see more of it.
Actually, that was the Sinclair thing I was talking about. I want to have like a riot, kind of like the Boston Massacre,
mm-hmm.
where Sinclair and his Marines are standing there watching it, sticks and bottles being thrown at this small group of British soldiers or mm-hmm. coldest soldiers. And the Marines are like, we got to go in there and save him. He's like, no, for the shock value, we have to wait till the cavalry gets here. That'll put the Imperial message in there. And the Marines are like, those are our dudes standing over there. Like, mm-hmm. they're not going to give a shit. You can bring the entire Navy in. If it takes a month, it doesn't matter. Those guys are dead.
So Sinclair would say that?
No, the Marine would say that to Sinclair.
No, it's like even I don't even think from what I know of Sinclair in your story,
yeah.
I don't feel like he would be a shock and awe kind of guy. He'd be mm-hmm. like, yeah. I think you should have someone above Sinclair go like, no, no, no.
Yeah,
there's we'll procedure. And Sinclair, I almost think Sinclair should be the one. We're like, no, we go like, I'm good at my job. I'm better at you than at my job than you are at your job. I want to go do the thing.
Interesting.
Because Sinclair doesn't seem like, for a guy who's already kind of chafing under the collar of mm-hmm. pomp and circumstance, having him do the worst pomp and circumstance doesn't seem to fit that well.
I actually don't want him to be chafing under pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, I think he
loves pomp and circumstance.
He rises to it.
Yeah, to where he...
And he almost resents other people that he feels doesn't represent him enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not what we saw in the part. He was like, he wanted to give credit where credit was due. He was a lot more utilitarian.
Definitely, yes. Well, I'll work on that.
Cool.
I appreciate the input.
Liam.
Yeah.
Yes. What did you bring in?
I brought in just a short little 1,500 word piece about a burned out house.
It wasn't about a burned out house, though, was it?
Not at all. It never is about a burned out house.
It never is.
It's just about, I want to do a short story collection, and the name of it I want to be is J.D. Salinger Ruined My Life.
Oh, okay.
And all of them would just be about like these misanthropic kind of bohemian-esque people and how they're getting in their own way, being unable to enjoy things because they're not cool or you're supposed to do them. They're no longer individuals. They're just conforming to the opposite of what you're... They're being reactive.
Right.
And this is kind of one of those stories where there's someone who kind of deeply wants to settle down, but one is afraid that they wouldn't be any good at it, and two, they feel like they need to live up to some sort of bohemian lifestyle that's kind of unattainable.
Right. And the her partner is not interested in that conversation at all.
Yeah.
Not with her, at least.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was made me feel things.
Did it?
Yeah.
Apparently you've made out with a girl in a burned out house.
But it wasn't a burned out house. It was the subconscious.
Metaphor.
No, it wasn't.
Just talking about a burned out house, like, the ghost of what something used to be is an interesting thing to think of.
Yeah.
And definitely party talk.
Yeah. What I liked is that the two characters were very much not alike, that they weren't just sitting there agreeing with each other. That was good. I liked the imagery she used about the burned out house, but, oh man, fuck, I forgot my main critique. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, come on, no, you got a good one. I know you have it in you. Is it that the guy doesn't have much of a personality?
No. I feel like I was able to put in my own personality for the guy.
Okay, you know good. I mean? That's good.
Plus, I heard you as him.
Yeah. Oh, that's not supposed to be that. That's a mistake. I got to go back and fix that.
Well, the ending was great. Like, he's just like, nah, you're fucked.
Yeah, you'd be terrible as this. Oh, the critique I have for you primarily is stylistic.
Okay.
More than content-wise.
A lot of adverbs.
Yes, I think a lot of adverbs, a lot of adjectives, and I think that's okay, but I feel like it feels rushed because I know it was.
Yeah.
But it feels rushed because you're choosing your word choice that you're choosing just allows you to kind of string things together.
Yeah.
To get the point across by the end of it. You're not really making these sentences work for you in the same way that if you picked a better noun or a better verb. Mm. You know, so
I only sat down and fixed one thing, and it was at the end, and it still doesn't even work that right.
It was a little vowel heavy.
It's better.
Too many vowels per word.
More consonants would.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a very standard critique and stuff. I feel like especially on something like this, where it's a very condensed story that's short, those kind of things matter more than in like a novel or something.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. Like, we're all reasonably intelligent, and we use that as a spackle. Like, we have a background to be like, oh, don't look over here. Look over at this. And we could all do to, like, boil down our stories a little more.
Well, the whole thing is, like, this sentence, the purpose of this sentence is to get from this idea to this idea. Don't, just move along.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And I think that'll, I mean, do you have anything else to add to it?
Well, no, just about that, like, we could all work on that, like
almost everyone could, like,
yeah.
Only, there are only certain writers where I, like, read them and are like, okay, every word here probably needs to be here.
Yeah. And that's a topic I wanted to bring up that I think we talked about this before we started, is that I want to discuss with you guys is diction within a story. When I was a newer writer, I was trying to fit in as many large words as I could to let people know that I had a large vocabulary. The more I write, the more I'm just like, please just get the point across.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there's a lot of good reasons to use larger words, even when they're not necessary. And I think that comes along with...
For me, it's writing essays in college.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
The whole thing is that teaches you big...
Like, yeah,
bigger, that teaches you the opposite word, of everything you learn for fiction.
Yeah.
You just need to jam content.
You're supposed to sound esoteric. If you're not, you're not doing a good enough job.
Well, I feel like the only times when you should be choosing... The general rule I try to stick to when I go and reread my writing is that don't use a bigger word when a smaller one would do, because then you're just making it harder for your audience.
Yeah.
And a smaller one won't do if the bigger word more accurately describes it.
Yes.
So your goal over everything is just to be more clear all the time. But if you're writing from a particular character's point of view,
then you have to suit the character.
Yeah.
Because diction is...
Even if it's first person, where the character may not be somebody who has a name, or even if it's second person, where the person who's telling you the story never gets named, they're not in the story at all, but the point of view they have,
the narrator is a character kind of on its own.
Yeah, based on the kind of, you know, diction and syntax they use.
The bigger words can carry almost like a sense with them, like more than word.
Yeah, you get
more
you
feelings.
Get a,
like
a kind
if
of
I,
voice
if
from
someone says Kafkaesque, you know, you get visions of the metamorphosis, like all kinds of craziness.
Are you making fun of me for the fact that I've used Kafkaesque?
No, I use it as well, and we probably shouldn't. It sounds like douchebags.
I don't use Kafkaesque. I use Kafka Trap.
Oh.
My favorite use of the word Kafkaesque, and it was before I actually knew what it was in Mission Hill, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love that. I love Mission Hill.
Do you guys know what a Kafka Trap is?
No.
No.
All right. It's very simple. It's when somebody says, you are this one thing, and you say, no, I'm not. I blank, blank, blank. Yeah, that's exactly what a person who was that one thing would say.
Oh, you're
because
stuck.
Of the advent of the internet and bad rhetoric.
Yeah.
Kafka traps are everywhere now. You'll walk into them.
You
no
just proved
what.
My point.
Exactly. Yeah. You just proved my point by saying the same thing that somebody who is the thing I said would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's no winning whatsoever.
If I had a top 10 list of things that person would say,
that'd be in there.
What you just said would be on it.
Somebody said it about Mother Teresa, where there's a bunch of letters of hers that you can read to her diocese or her bishop or whatever, mm-hmm. where she's praying and she's like, I don't hear the voice of God. Like, I don't hear it. I'm experiencing so much doubt and it's really hard and I feel like I'm not doing the right thing. And her priest writes her back and says, that's all part of it. So,
yeah, that's I mean, not like, even.
Doubt is a part of faith,
right? But that's a Kafka trap because now
yeah.
how do you?
Yeah, exactly.
There's
you can't
no,
get out of that.
It's just circular logic.
Fuck! If I reading that back, that would just make you scream. Like,
oh, I'd be angry and I'd be like, I quit.
But as you know, she doubled down.
Yeah,
but well, as most people do.
She was in it for the sadism too. So,
you really think so?
Yeah.
I mean, never mind. I read the missionary position as well, but yeah. That I don't think she was literally a sadist for its own sake. I think it's just a byproduct.
She's
well, that's
not me.
Something that someone who thinks she wasn't a sadist would say.
Well done, sir.
Why did you teach him that trick? Now that's all he's going to do.
I was doing it anyway. I just didn't know it had a name.
Yeah, Kafka Trap.
Nice.
All right, so now is the bad story trailers part of the podcast where we pick three genres, roll the dice, and come up with a movie idea and record the trailer for your listening pleasure. Liam, why don't you get first roll?
Let's fucking do this shit.
What's your, what's our number, sir?
All right, what's my number? I watched that movie. It was not good.
Oh.
59.
Slasher.
Okay, all right.
A horror genre featuring a serial killer or other psychopath as an antagonist, methodically killing a number of protagonists in succession. Dramatic suspense is heightened by the victim's obliviousness of the killer. The victims are typically in isolated settings and often engaged in sexual activity previous to the attacks. The slasher kills their victims by stealthily sneaking up on them and then bloodily stabbing and slicing them to death with a sharp object such as a chef's knife or chainsaw.
That reminds me
the best slasher film.
As a story, I always wanted.
Although I do like the first Scream a lot.
Oh yeah,
but only as like a meta commentary on slasher films.
I think it stands on its own.
Oh, it stands on its own, but
it's better. It's better if you've seen other ones.
I always wanted to write a story about kids who go out to fucking cars or whatever. They create the people who murder them because of all their. When imagine like the first time you're gonna have sex, all that like energy and like you're so fucking nervous and all that spiritual energy. The demons feed on that shit and they just appear. You're creating the own thing that kills you in that experience. They would be drawn to that fucking spiritual energy.
A self-fuck-filling prophecy.
Yeah, because in the back of your head, everyone's a little conservative in the back of their head. Like maybe they would feel that was wrong.
I'm not 100% a libertine in my head.
Exactly. Everyone's
just outwardly.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a little bit of back of their head, so maybe they'll feel bad about it in some way they don't understand. And all of that comes together to create the fucking hook-handed murderer.
That's a good idea.
30.
Bangzian. A fantasy genre which concerns the use of famous literary or historical individuals and their interactions in the afterlife. It is named for John Kendrick Bangs, who often wrote in this genre. I am 100% about whatever this genre is. I've never heard of John Kendrick Bangs, but now I need to look him up. Bangzian. That's our second genre.
So it's a slasher film set in the afterlife with famous people.
I think that's, so far,
this is a solid movie.
Totally doable. All right, I'm rolling the last
Now, this
genre.
Is the icing on the cake. This could take it to the next level or ruin it.
All right, let's find out. 71. Family Saga. I had to go down to this because I wonder if it's the Icelandic thing. The Family Saga is a genre of literature which chronicles the lives and doings of a family or number of related or interconnected families over a period of time, in novels or sometimes sequence of novels. With serious intent, this is often a thematic device used to portray particular historical events, changes of social circumstances, or the ebb and flow of fortunes from multiple perspectives.
All right, how do we work that in?
So I think that's easy if we choose a famous family. Like, so if it was the Hatfields and McCoys, still. This is just a hypothetical. If they're still duking it out in the afterlife, and then a demon's like, "This has to end finally," and starts taking them out.
Or no, the whole thing is the person killing him in the afterlife is just one of them who's just fucking tired. And they're like, "This shit's over."
What's the Steve Martin movie? Is it like My Blue Valentine or whatever, where he's in the witness protection program?
I don't know. I don't think I've seen
it. Anyway, he gets in the witness protection program and he's like, "I'm made for life." And they're like, "Yeah, we give you like $20 a week." He's like, fuck. So he has to get all his old mobster guys together to commit crimes again to get money. What if the afterlife is like you're famous for a while and then you just have to do stuff? So like it can follow a family who was like famous and now they're actually having to like
do things. We need to decide on the famous people first because it doesn't have to be like the family could be two people.
Yeah.
And I'm also
feeling that the idea of family is it could just be two groups.
Yes. And once we decide on a funny choice, then we design our afterlife to be different from the standard heaven and hell so that it can facilitate
a slasher film. I choose the Rat Pack.
That's a good one, Max.
All right, Daddy-O.
I like that so far.
Rat Pack? Yeah. Who are they fighting?
I was thinking a group of...
Rat Pack versus Brat Pack?
I was thinking... I've always had this fantasy of putting together a super band of the best deceased musicians and just who they would play against and that kind of thing. But if it was if there was like an afterlife battle of the bands and then a killer comes into it.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
That could be cool too.
All right. We have to decide who the killer is.
Well, so maybe the Rat Pack is a group of musicians.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, and I was, so my...
Well, entertainers, I think, more than anything else.
Singers,
yes,
primarily. but if you took the Rat Pack versus a band made up of
Dio,
Jimi Hendrix, Randy Rhodes, Freddie Mercury.
I like that idea. What about Richie Valens, the Big Popper? Like, they're so pissed
Buddy
that
Holly.
they died in that plane crash.
So let's do that. Let's make several different bands from dead celebrities, and then there's a battle of the bands in the afterlife. Yeah. And somebody is killing them again.
Straight up. Wait, is Jerry Lewis still alive?
Yes.
Perfect.
I think so. Hang on.
Can our killer be Jim Morrison because he doesn't add up to his legacy?
No. I want something ancient and terrible, like someone who's just pissed that no one remembers them anymore.
So what if it's somebody who is still alive now?
Is the killer?
And nobody realizes they've died.
Oh, okay.
Jerry Lewis is a good one.
Paul is dead.
Oh, Paul McCartney? Yeah, because the conspiracy was real.
And he's dead, but he's not allowed to, like,
yes.
Because someone still has his...
That is great.
They don't, like, no one knows he's dead.
Okay, so the Rat Pack...
This is my wheelhouse. This is finally my informational wheelhouse.
The Rat Pack, who died on the day the music died? It was Buddy Holly, Big Papa.
Big Bopper,
and Richie Valens.
I'm sure there was someone else, but...
Who would you add to that group, though?
Davy Jones.
Elvis.
Are there any good drummers that would have fit them?
Yeah, but they're not famous enough for anyone to care.
Okay,
I mean that was especially the era of the front man.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking,
Can Bowie show up and be the one trying to figure it out?
Yeah, Bowie's the magistrate.
Yeah,
it's like we're throwing this. It's very important. You got Bowie and Lemmy teamed up. trying to solve this
mystery. We're throwing in Buddy Cop.
It's a buddy cop movie.
It's a buddy cop movie.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Bowie and Lemmy are solving a crime.
In the afterlife.
I think we need a metal band.
Well, I was thinking...
We need a pop band.
For rock and roll, we've got Freddie Mercury, Randy Rhoads, Jimi Hendrix, and John Bonham.
Yeah.
That's a band. Well, no, so we need a bassist. Cliff Burton. So that's the rock super group that hopes to take it away from the Rat Pack. We've got the Rat Pack. Who died recently? Oh, Prince.
Yeah.
What if it's Prince? What if Prince is the murderer?
Why would he be the murderer?
Because he's in hell.
Because he was a Jehovah's Witness and now he's really mad about...
That he's wrong?
Yeah, that he's wrong.
He's like, none of you belong in heaven!
Yeah. This is my stage. Everybody get off. Because he really doesn't need anybody else.
All right. So we got a hard rock band, the Rat Pack. I think we need the Day the Music Died pop stars.
So, okay, wait, hang on. So it's David Bowie and Lemmy as the municipal police, and the feds are Michael Jackson and Prince.
I don't want to do that.
And it's because they keep arguing about jurisdiction.
Yeah.
This is going to be mostly, the whole thing is, in this movie is mostly you, because I'm not doing a Michael Jackson or Prince voice.
Well, who else we got? We got like Mama Cass, you know, what is it? The
Janis Joplin.
24, 27 club.
Oh, just the whole 27.
Jeff Buckley.
Yeah.
Who's 27.
But the whole thing is like let's think of groups rather than individuals because it's easier to slot people in groups.
We're just thinking of the movie, like people they'll interview, you know, people who show up dead and they don't like what happened here.
I'm still the killer's got to be McCartney. That's way funny.
No, the killer is McCartney.
That's so much. You're fun. Right. For some reason, that's so funny.
Everybody thought he was still alive.
And
Paul is dead.
But he's so pissed about the McCartney ruining his life. Like
so, Michael Jackson's the first 20 takes out. Because he bought the rights to the Beatles.
He's so mad about Wings. He's like, that motherfucker.
Dude, fuck you. Wings is awesome.
Wings is good.
Band on the Run, motherfucker.
Did you guys ever listen to The Beatles Never Died?
No.
Yeah,
that's great. It's some guy took all the songs from their projects separate from the Beatles afterwards and then combined them in like a Girl Talk-esque Beatles album. It's really good.
It's good. Ooh. It's solid.
The Ramones are all dead, aren't they?
No.
Aren't they?
No.
The Misfits. They're dead to me.
Yeah. Well, they were dead on arrival, in my opinion.
Ooh, that's Shane talking there. Like your experience with Shane.
Yeah.
No, okay, so we got enough people.
Yeah.
Bowie and Lemmy. Liam, can you do a Lemmy voice?
I don't know if I can be that gruff and have an incomprehensible accent.
Well, because he's Cockney. I mean, that's all he is really, normally.
Yeah, but it's...
It'd be funny if he just did his singing voice the whole time.
Like, I don't know, Bowie. What are we going to do?
So it's just Randy Savage.
Yeah, he sounds like Randy Savage.
I can do that.
Ace of Spades.
Ugh.
Shit, we should have picked people we could sound like.
So there's a
yeah, I know.
There's a battle of the bands happening. So let's talk about our afterlife.
Yes.
That's different, okay? So it's more of like a new place than heaven or hell. There's like an overarching group of beings that... can give power to certain individuals, and that's why Bowie and Lemmy are a cop buddies. And they're also the ones hosting the Battle of the Bands because they're going to give the prize can't be monetary because nobody's going to give a shit about money.
Have you ever seen Risk Cutters?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm assuming it would be like that, only the world's not shittier and it's just everybody's
the PIC,
there.
Right? The people in charge? Yeah.
What if you're playing to get out of, like, limbo?
You're playing to
get into,
be reincarnated?
To get into, like, what heaven is.
No, because then...
I think reincarnation, right?
Yeah, that'd be cool. To let your talent live on.
Yeah.
So, and that would actually make sense for the Battle of the Bands thing. It's like, we want the best musicians for their talent to re-enter the world.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. It's a gritty.
Oh, and McCartney's noir. McCartney's not eligible because his talent is still technically, like,
it's still there.
Listed as alive.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And so what happens if you die in this version? You don't get reincarnated.
No.
Maybe there's just a sub-level.
Well, no. Okay. Well, the whole thing is, and you don't really die either. You're just stripped of all your shit. You respawn with nothing. Whatever level you were on to, like, get reincarnated or whatever power you had.
I don't know. I think it should be a really horrible thing. That maybe you can't die until this guy starts killing people, and then they're like, what happens? And the people in charge are like, we don't know.
That's
like,
the best.
They're just dead. Like, we think we don't know.
Skrillex gets the rights to your back catalog.
Yeah, I think we need another person. The buddy cop. If we're gonna do, I need someone I can actually do the voice of. Who's you? Can you do Bowie, like, hardcore?
I can do a really terrible Bowie for comedy.
Yeah, it works, but but it'll be recognizable as Bowie. Where, like, if I'm trying to do Lemmy, not gonna work.
I want
to
be the Big Bopper.
Okay, so
hey,
hello. I'm the Big Baba.
Is it bad that we treat this as noir? It's the buddy, like, noir, and these two are very serious. Lemmy's the rough and tumble, and then Bowie is the straight-laced.
Yeah. We've got to find these murderers.
Battle the Bands for reincarnation. Somebody is killing people in the afterlife for the first time ever. What do we call the people in charge?
The managers.
I like management, like manager.
The management. Management.
Yeah.
The management.
Isn't that what they call them, risk cutters, a little bit?
No, they say people in charge.
Okay,
PIC.
So the management. What's the name of this film?
Rock and Roll Heaven is an easy one. Stairway to Hell.
That's a good one.
Shit.
Because it's a slasher film. Stairway to Hell is good.
Yeah, something with slash, like...
The Day the Music Died Again. Yeah. Kiss the Sky.
Hate Slashberry.
No, that's way too specific.
Yeah. Murder and Rock and Roll Heaven sounds good to me.
I'm looking for a good music reference here.
Yeah.
What if they have to wear a uniform that's white and you call it Knights in White Satin? That could be cool, right?
Moody, like, is it, that a Moody Blues reference?
Yeah. Never reaching the end. Spirit in the Sky.
No, that's not.
Wheel in the Sky. That's the wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Spirit in the Sky, I like better.
Spirit in the Sky.
Spirit in the Sky is good, but you got to change. You got to tweak it.
God, that song is perfect for this, though.
Spirit in the Sky.
We just call it the place that's the best, because that's the spirit in the sky.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Gonna go to the place that's the best. Okay, hear me out on this one. What about On a Mission from God?
That sounds too much like Blues Brothers.
The Blues Brothers.
Those two are on a mission from God to find out who's murdering all these rock stars.
Bloody Sunday. Don't Fear the Reaper.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. Isn't that? I think that's probably already a movie, though.
That's a good pun, though. Dead Man's Curve. Knocking on Heaven's Door.
That one's pretty good.
Maggot Brain.
Hey.
The Show Must Go On.
That's already a movie, I'm pretty sure.
Damn it.
Dude, Carry On, My Wayward Son. Knocking on Heaven's Door is the name of the Cowboy Bebop movie. Long December. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Except for we're not going to have anybody from that band.
The Great Gig in the Sky. How did I not immediately think of that? Fuck.
That's a good one.
God damn it.
The Great Gig in the Sky.
I'm so fucking stupid that I didn't immediately think of that. I fucking love that song too.
Dude, Great Gig in the Sky.
The Great Gig in the Sky.
Holy shit. You can't get a better word.
This was worth looking up.
Damn, that's good.
All right.
Everybody agree?
That's good.
I'm good with that.
That's good.
Great Gig in the Sky. That's our movie.
Scott's new orders from management. Someone's got whacked.
Whacked? What does that mean?
Wasted. Oist, cavorked, sent to the farm. He got bloody OJ'd, man.
I wasn't aware that was even possible here. Who was it?
Fucking Dean Martin. Apple juice, man.
Does he still drink that?
I don't think he drinks much of anything anymore, mate.
It was the wildest thing, man. I saw him on the floor, and when I went to touch him, he turned to ash.
Ash? That's wild, man.
I know you gumshoes are new at this, but we'd really like to know what happened to Dean.
The management has given us the abilities needed to deal with a situation like this.
The management? Ain't that a kick in the head?
I thought that was Mr. Martin's song.
Yeah, well, he's got something to say about it. He's being awful quiet.
It just doesn't make any sense!
We're a couple of stiffs, mate. Nothing makes sense anymore.
No, no. I mean, we've looked into the past of every dead musician in history. Even Beethoven was squeaky clean.
The problem is, dead folks got no need for revenge. That's for the living.
The living.
Come out! I know it was you!
Maybe it was. I'm not the man I used to be.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Bad Storytellers, now presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream us from Google Play. I've been your host, Josh LaForge, and I'd like to thank my writing group again, Doug Banks, Liam Malone, and Max Wessel. Now remember, as listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow to find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming. Visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Bad Storytellers on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.